I believe in the importance of the local church. I believe, as I read the Bible, in the necessity, in the priority of the local New Testament Bible-believing church. Now, I'll tell you tonight, I have no use for false religion. I have no use for religiosity in general. Many of the Lord's greatest adversaries, if you remember correctly, were profound religionists. But I believe in the local church. There's a lot of garbage out there. There are a lot of country clubs, and there are a lot of cults that call themselves churches. And there are a lot of people who have no business being in leadership, in church leadership. There's a lot of corruption. But I believe in the local church. And we cannot, as the people of God, throw the church under the bus just because you've had a bad experience or because there are bad people out there doing bad things. Ladies and gentlemen, on the authority of the Word of God, I believe in the local church. The local church, as the Bible teaches, is the visible representation of Jesus Christ's body here on earth. You know, our theme this year is rooted to rise. I tell you what, make that your rallying cry. You wake up tomorrow morning, let it be what comes to your mind, that God gave me another day that I might be rooted to rise. But let me ask you, how can you be rooted and grow in the things of Christ and not be rooted and growing in His body, the local church? I believe in the local church because the Bible says that Jesus gave Himself for it. It is God's ordained institution for today. And so for just a few moments before our business meeting tonight, I want to look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, those last two verses, and look at once again the importance of the local church. Look at verse number 15 with me, if you would. The Bible says this. But if I tarry long, this is Paul talking to Timothy. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. Roman numeral 1, if you're taking notes with me tonight, notice, if you would, the method of the church. The method of the church. There is an essential order that comes with the local church. Paul, as he talked to Timothy, Paul said, in my absence, you need to know how you ought to behave, how you ought to conduct yourself in the local church. To Timothy, both as a church member and as a church leader. Paul said that there is an essential order that you need to be aware, a recognized order of how you ought to conduct yourself in the local church. And I'm going to tell you, in the absence of Jesus Christ, you know, He's coming, amen. And I believe He's coming soon, but He hadn't come yet. And while He tarries, you and I ought to know how to conduct ourselves, behave ourselves in the local church. There's an essential order that's given because God is not the author of confusion. He's not. Now, let me say this. Having said that, churches do things different ways. And that's okay. What you won't hear from me on a regular basis or maybe ever is to sit in judgment on someone else's preference. Churches do things different ways, and that's okay. It isn't the right way, the wrong way, and the harvest way. Ladies and gentlemen, it's God's way. Amen. And the fact that some churches do things different ways is okay, and we can't get all upset and worked up about that. But what we do have to understand is this. As the physical representation of Jesus Christ here on this earth, we had better be a proper reflection of Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 27 says this, "Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular, whether we are the body or whether we are the lively stones that build up His house. When the world looks on the church, and the church is not a building, the church is not a complex, the church is people. When the world looks on the church, they ought to see a good representation of Jesus Christ." You see, Christ planned for the church with His doctrine. And Christ purchased the church with His death. In Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28, we see this. The Bible says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which He hath purchased with His own blood." Jesus Christ died for the local church. There is an essential order. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes we need to get off our high horse and humble ourselves before the Word of God. Sometimes we need to let go of our preferences and place ourselves beneath the Word of God and focus on what Christ has set forth. Because not only is there an essential order, but there is also an established organization. You see, when we come to 1 Timothy 3:15 about how thou oughtest to conduct thyself in the local church, in the church of God, this verse is not found in a vacuum. You read the rest of 1 Timothy chapter 3 and do you know what you find? It's all about pastors and deacons. You see, God has set forth an established organization. You think about what God has established for the local church. God has given us the church. It was His idea. God has given the church the Great Commission. Matthew 28, beginning in verse 18, Jesus said this. He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." He gave us the Great Commission. He also gave the church ordinances. We know baptism was just mentioned there in the book of Matthew. But also the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23. Paul wrote, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. Now the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He brake it and said, 'Take, eat. This is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me.' And after the same manner also He took the cup, and when He had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of Me.'" So not only did God give us the church, He gave us a commission. Not only did God give us the church, He gave us ordinances. Not only did God give us the church, He gave us the Bible. Not only did God give us the church, but He gave us pastors and teachers and deacons. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 11. The Bible says, "And He," that is God, Jesus Christ, "He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." And that passage goes on to say how those men, how those church leaders were for the equipping and building of the local church. He's given us church leaders. God has given us well-established bounds for the local church. And by the way, all the things that we remember, the church being a blood-bought, called-out assembly, the church performing the Great Commission, the church performing the ordinances of Christ, the church submitting itself to the Word of God, the church giving itself to the leadership that God had placed within the church, the church doing these things, This is not religion, ladies and gentlemen. This is biblical Christianity. This is God-ordained local church ministry. This is what God is doing in this age. He works through His body. He works through His bride. He works through the local church. And there is an organization and there is an order. There is a message to the church because it is what God is using to spread the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ throughout all the earth. We need the local church. Not only does Paul give us the method of the church, but he also gives us the ministry of the church. Look at the end of verse number 15, if you would. The Bible says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth." Not only do we see the method of the church, but we see the ministry of the church. The church here is described as the pillar and ground of truth. The first aspect of the church's ministry is the church is to lift up the truth. You know, that word pillar, it means to lift up. To be a column or a display upon which something can be set. In other words, we are to be a display. We are to be a case whereby the truth is lifted up for the world to see. The local church. It is high time that the church remember that there is one God-ordained institution to be the pillar and ground of truth in this generation. And it's not the government. The government has its role, Romans 13, and I don't disparage the government, but it is not the government's job to be the pillar and ground of truth. It's not the government's job to say, this is truth, and hold it up for all the world to see. It's not. By the way, it's not up to you to create the truth either. The world doesn't need your truth, the world needs God's truth. And it is the local church that is the God-ordained institution to be the evangel, to be the proclaimer of the good news. And I'll tell you without apology, as you read the Word of God and you understand how God is working, the church, not the public school, the church, not the police station. The church, not the fire station. The church, not the hospital. The church, not the library, is the single most important institution in any community, period. It is more important because of the weight of what we are given to uphold. The pillar of truth. Something which raises up, displays. And that's what the local church should be. It should be lifting up the truths of the Bible for all to see. And by God's grace, may that be what the Harvest Baptist Temple is in this community. To be first and overwhelmingly foremost, a beacon of the truth. A beacon of the gospel. A beacon of thus saith the Lord. May that be what we ever are. Not only is the ministry of the church to lift up the truth, but it's also to look after the truth. We're not only the pillar of truth, but we're also the ground. Here, this is a bulwark of sorts. And it's earth that's built up for a prop. Used for stability, but it's also used as a brace and a defense. And ladies and gentlemen, we as the church, we as believers that make up this local church body, ought always be ready to give an answer of the hope within us. We ought also always be ready to be a place where any can come for safety and security in the love of God. Ladies and gentlemen, the Harvest Baptist Temple should always be a place where people find help. Anybody who wants help ought to be able to find it here. no matter of their past mistakes, no matter of their present lifestyle choices, anyone who wants help ought to be able to find it here. The pillar and the ground of truth. And this is so important because you understand tonight that the truth is always under attack. And those who carry the truth are ever under attack as well. We live in a generation of fake news and alternative facts. People don't hardly know what to believe anymore. But there ought to be one place where they can come and know that they're getting the truth. And that's the local church. The local church ought to be a safe place where what we do and what we say and where we go proclaims the glory of God and the good of the believer underlying everything. Ladies and gentlemen, because we lift up the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, because we look after the truth. We need the local church. We need the local church. The importance of the local church is found not only in its method, not only in its ministry, but finally tonight, the local church, the importance of the local church is found in its message. Look with me at verse number 16. The Bible says this, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." The church is important for its method, yes. The church is important for its ministry, yes. But the church is also important for its message. You see, we have the message concerning the Son of God. We have a defined message. The Bible says here, without controversy. In other words, it ought to be clearly evident in this group of believers that there is a crux to our message, that there is a central theme to our message, that there is an overarching point to our message, and it ought to be without controversy and to the common knowledge of and acceptance of all, Jesus Christ. And that Jesus Christ is God. That ought to be what we're all about. You see, the problem a lot of churches have fallen into is they have become reactionary. In other words, a circumstance happens. Somebody says something, does something, goes somewhere. There's this whole bit. And we are constantly responding to what's going on around us. And yes, as believers, we're not called to be ignorant and we're not called to be unresponsive. But ladies and gentlemen, our message, my message for next Sunday will not be dictated by what does or doesn't happen in Washington over the next 6 days. It will not. It will not. Because we're not called to be reactionary to our circumstances. We are called to be responsive to God's truth. And from Genesis to Revelation, as you look at this book, the one great theme of this book is Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sins. And if that's the theme of this book, that ought to be the theme of this place. If that's the theme of this book, it ought to be the theme of our ministry. The message of the church is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, eternal God. What could be more important than that? What could be more important than that? Not only is our message concerning the Son of God, but also concerning the simplicity of the gospel. We see of Jesus Christ manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. One of the things that we have got to get a hold of, if the local church is going to do what God has ordained it to do, is to understand that my opinion about you, your opinion about me, anyone's opinion about another ministry, about a politician, about anything else going on in the world is not as important as Jesus and Jesus crucified. What we need and what the church needs, we need full-time Christians. People who will say every day, I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. Instead of full-time critics. You know, we have what's called keyboard warriors out in the world, and they get on their computers and they get on social media or they get on different chat boards and they type and they argue and they fuss and they fume and they go round and around and around and around and around and around and around. I'm going to tell you, God has given us a message. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. That Jesus was born, that He was manifest in the flesh, that He died for our sins, and that He rose again, justified of the Spirit. He was seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles. Aren't you glad for that tonight? Believed on in the world and received up into glory. Tonight, there are men and women in hospitals within 10 to 15 minutes of where I stand, who are dying and heading into eternity. And to understand tonight, there's all sorts of drama going on in our world. And this and that with the government, and this and that with the state of New York, and this and that with those people, and what about that horrible athlete over? There's a lot of drama going on in our world. But there are men and women dying and going into eternity. And to understand that the local church, that's me and you, is the God-ordained institution to stand between the living and the dead in this generation and to proclaim the message that Jesus saves. And if we don't do it, ladies and gentlemen, who will? If we don't do it, who will? You know, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. But on the flip side, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 14, ye are the light of the world. Ye, plural, it's us. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. We need the local church. We need the local church. Tonight I admonish you, don't ever belittle what God makes much of. In the New Testament, 117 times He talks about the church. The only thing He talks about more than the church is the gospel. You know, 114 of those 117 times refers specifically to local bodies of believers. God loves the local church. God emphasizes the local church. Jesus died for the local church. We need the local church. You need the local church. You know, Pastor Belcher, I think, said it best. And once I read his quote, I'm not sure he's going to want to own it, but I love it. Believers who are not plugged into local churches either grow cold or grow kooky. There's really no middle ground. You know, I hope tonight the importance of the local church challenges our hearts. That's us. That's not the instant. This is us. This is me. This is you. We are the local church. And when I talk about the importance of the local church, I don't write it, ladies and gentlemen. I just recite it. And the book still says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. And I would go so far as to say, to apply the importance of the local church, that you cannot become a mature believer and remain a mediocre church member. No church is perfect because it's made up of imperfect people. It's made up of broken people. But we as the local church have been entrusted by God with the greatest treasure. We need the local church. We need to be a part of the local church. We need to love it. We need to attend it. We need to participate in it. We need to invest in it. We need to coordinate our life around it. The church, with its method, with its ministry, with its message, is just that important. The importance of the local church.